Welcome back to the Lounge and Rouge Cycling Podcast. I'm back in the lounge room for internet reasons. Today we have an interview with the press officer of Vini Zabu Pro Team, Valerio Bianco, giving up his time on his weekend to talk to us. You may have seen in the news that Matteo De Bonis, a rider on Vini Zabu, who tested positive for EPO in an out-of-competition test. He hasn't competed in a race so far this year. In 2021, he did compete in races for Vini last year. It's an AAF, adverse analytical finding, and I'm not sure there will be a B sample test because he might have confessed to it. But we'll hear from Valerio directly about that. Vini Zabu have self-suspended for now. They're currently at risk of a 15 to 45 day suspension because they have a second doping case in the last 12 months. Matteo Spriafico tested positive for Osterine in the Giro d'Italia last year. The reason we wanted to have Valerio on directly is because this has blown up quite a bit actually on social media. And I know it is doping related, etc., and that gets a lot of headlines, but other teams are weighing in, other institutions not directly involved are weighing in. It's getting a bit nasty and political because I think it relates, well, I don't think, it's pretty obvious it relates to the Giro wildcard selections. The MPCC, which is the Movement for Cyclism Credible, Movement for Credible Cycling, it's an optional entity that you can join as a professional or even continental cycling team, and you take on as part of joining more onerous anti-doping obligations, which extend to things you must include in the contracts of your riders, which a lot of people don't know about that one. That applied to George Pridler with his, I think, Sunweb contract. You know, corticosteroid use, even with the therapeutic use exemption, as well as not competing with low cortisol levels, which is related to corticosteroid use. And MPCC put out a statement, despite Vini Zabu not being part of their organization, despite them not being an anti-doping authority, and they rarely tweet. I'm talking like 3-4 tweets this year. They put out a tweet with the timeline of Vini Zabu's issues with anti-doping. Now, UCI or a journalist entity or a cycling news entity want to do that, that's their prerogative. But it seemed politically motivated. We've seen a Tuto Bici article that Benji sent me that Androni's manager requested that the MPCC comment on this directly. He obviously is now in the firing line to get a Giro wildcard, so it's getting a bit nasty. You'll remember, or you'll notice if you check MPCC's Twitter, I don't see any comment on the Dr. Richard Freeman finding and how that affects the credibility of cycling. So doesn't seem to be a consistent thing they do. What do you think about it all, Benji, before we go to Valerio?
I think when it comes to the De Bonis situation, I think it's normal that he's going to get criticism. And I think it's normal that people are also going to send criticism to a team with a history. But I think that when it comes to MPCC, for example, it's a bit weird that they do so. I think they did so, from what we can tell from that Tutto Bici article written by Androni and Gianni Savio, that is the reason why they likely stepped in. And if that is the case, then I wonder if they would have stepped in without anyone asking whether they should step in from a team. I think Savio was part of one of the managing members of the MPCC in the past, or still. I don't know if he's still in there, but I think that's a pretty dangerous precedent. And while I'm pro trying to get to the bottom of everything, I'm not sure the MPCC is the right organization to step in now when it's a team that is not under them. And just in total, I think it's also a bit hypocritical, knowing that from what I can tell from the history of like an Androni themselves, they also have this issue with a timeline that is not very great. And as a consequence, I just find it, yeah, special that Johnny Savio is directly the one, or Androni is directly the one that steps in, because it's basically, it feels like it's all political about the wild card to me right now. And I think if the wild card situation wasn't there, then Androni wouldn't have bothered stepping in, and then the MBCC would likely have not stepped in, I would guess. And we would have had a very different story. And I think the wild card situation just influenced this so, so much.
Yeah, I mean, Vini Zabu did used to be in MPCC, and then they left, but they, along with about 10 other teams, have done that. Lotto and Oyumbo left, I think, in 2015 when George Bennett got excluded from the Giro on the basis of their voluntary cortisol tests, and he failed whatever optional test it was, not a actual UCI test, an MPCC test, let's be clear, and couldn't compete at the Giro. And then Lotto were like, nah, we're out of MPCC. I think Astana left it. Ironically, Benji, I think the only team to win a Grand Tour that's part of MPCC was Astana for a long time, and then they left just left MPCC. So, I mean, I like what MPCC sort of stand for, but I don't really understand having the bifurcation of anti-doping responsibilities between the mandatory and the voluntary. I just don't think it's a sustainable solution. I think we'd be better off going to the UCI and making sure corticosteroids in competition, TUE or not, are prohibited, and making sure the teams lobby that are part of MPCC lobby for that to happen. But maybe that's me not understanding the situation. But that's long enough to talk about MPCC. One last note before we go to Valerio is, why do we have Valerio on? And it's pretty simple. I think this platform should be an open platform for people to come on, whether you think their team's done something wrong or not. I think more information, more discussion is better. I think if you're wanting to listen to me berate someone or Benji berate someone, that's not going to happen. We'll ask questions, people will answer the questions to the best of their abilities, and then the audience can go with it as they wish. I think that's the most productive way to deal with these things. I think castigating people just means you're going to get less information, which isn't good for anti-doping long term. But with that being said, let's cut to Valerio now. Thanks for coming on to the Lantern Rouge Cycling Podcast. For people that don't know, Valerio Bianco is the press officer, communications manager at Vini Zabu Pro Team, Italian Pro Continental Team. And there's been the recent news of the De Bonis provisional suspension, a rider on Vini Zabu for EPO, no B sample confirmation yet. So we wanted to bring Valerio on, and we're grateful he's come on to hear his side of things and hear it direct from Vini Zabu, because it's been a hot topic in the media. So that's why we're doing this. So first of all, I want to ask Valerio, maybe just start from the beginning for people maybe who haven't heard the full story, and maybe start, give a bit of a timeline from Vini's perspective.
First of all, hi everyone. Thanks for the invitation. Everything started on Tuesday morning, 6:30 in the morning. I live in San Baronto, near the headquarters of the team, because I come from south of Italy, but when the races are on, when the season is on, I stay here in one of the team houses. We have two team houses here in San Baronto. And I'm actually living with one of the riders, Gonzalez from Panama. And at 6:30 in the morning, we hear someone knocking on the door, and it was the police. So it was like, what? Something happened. It's something that we had already last year during the Giro d'Italia, when there was the affair of Matteo Sprefico. But first of all, we couldn't reconnect. No, it was 6:30 in the morning. Like, police is in my home checking not everything, because, for example, they didn't even came in my room. Like, and all the riders were brought into police stations. All the phones have been taken of the Italian riders or the riders who live in Italy. And also from the team management, Luca Scinto and Angelo Citrac, our main sport director and our team manager. And, well, police checked everywhere in all the homes. And after, we found out that this was because of Matteo De Bonis. Like, the team didn't know nothing until Tuesday at 6:30. And then in the morning, all the people was released so by the police, but still the phones are under the phones are still from the police, because they're trying to see if there is any organization or any strange things. So this is basically what happened on Tuesday. Then the day after, we called Matteo De Bonis here in the headquarters, because Matteo De Bonis lives near Rome. He came here with his father and his lawyer. And what he did here, he was talking to us, to the management. I was here as well, in this room, I mean the office of the team. And he confessed everything he did. He released this declaration, and we sent it with our lawyers and his lawyer to the police and to UCI. So we gave all the documentation, all the contacts, because this is very important. It was not only, oh, I did it myself, the team does nothing. No, there's something more. He said, who sell this doping to him? How did he use? Where did he use? So this is, I think, the most important thing. Like, it's not only the team did nothing, but like I want to give these names, and I want to feel clean also. So this could be like something very useful for the team himself, because there is something that, like, a lot of people is ranting now on the social media this week, but no one thinks that behind these there are like more than 30 people working here, 30 families, and like everything is in danger now.
But that's surprising that the timeline seems to be the UCI getting the positive sample, telling the police before the team. I guess it makes sense, because if people don't know, I think doping is a criminal matter in Italy, not in all countries.
I think indeed on social media, we had a lot of people calling Vinizabu out for it and so forth. You mentioned, there are people working, obviously, behind the scenes, and they have families. And what, for example, could you give an example of some stuff that happened that is, like, not okay? Or
yesterday morning, I went to the police station here because someone crossed the line too much. They even called me out on my profile, my personal profile, and some of my family members' profile on the social media. This is absurd. This is criminal. This is criminal, because it's my private life and the private life of someone of my family, and you cannot come in. And people is really, can I say bad words?
Yeah.
People is fucked, because if they think this is. So I went yesterday to the police station, because this is not possible, not acceptable. I know everyone is bored because there is a pandemic on, but you cannot do this. I can accept if someone who's not part of cycling comes on the social medias and say blah, blah, blah. This I can accept. I can accept the jokes, but I cannot accept people coming on my personal profile and rant on me or insulting me for what?
Yeah, that seems a bit over the top. But when you talk about the, you know, 30 riders, 30 members of the team, staff included, now I think this is the second case in 12-month period. So there's the possibility that the UCI could impose a 15 to 40, 45-day suspension on Vinizabu. That could bring Nigiro d'Italia into doubt. What would that mean for the team and for a lot of the riders? I mean, and how important, I mean, a lot of our audience are not Italian, so they don't understand maybe. So if you could explain how important is the Giro wildcard to an Italian Pro Conti team?
The wildcard is so important because it's the most followed event in Italy, even more than the Tour de France or all the World Championships. The Giro d'Italia gives a lot of brief to the team because we, as an Italian team, most of our sponsors are Italian. And yeah. The visibility that the Giro gives is not compared to any other race here in Italy. That's why when you go to look for sponsors, the first thing they ask you is, are you going to ride the Giro d'Italia? And this is always like for a pro team like us, we just stand to the answers of the organization of the wildcards. It's just, yeah, maybe. So it's very hard. That's why it's very hard to find some sponsors. So the Giro d'Italia for us is very, very important. It was very difficult to survive 2 years ago when we were left out from the wildcards. And I cannot imagine what can happen if we're not going to be at the start this year. So that's why we wait for this answer. That's why we want to, not to hurry up, but like we want to show that we don't have nothing to do with this. Even if it's the second, you say it's the second case in a few months, but it's there's really nothing we can do more than doing what we're already doing, like the analysis with the biological passport. And you can clearly see that a rider that in 2021, before the start of the season, because our season started 1 month later as a training camp, because we all the first races we were on has been cancelled for the COVID. Like, how can you relate this this doping case to something that the team has done or ordered to this guy? Like, this is what I don't see. That's what we're trying to explain. Like, it's going to be up to the UCI to do the investigation, to the police. But this is what we want to, this is what we are trying to say.
So what you're saying is, if one rider decides to dope of their own accord, that's not evidence of a systemic problem within the team if he's confessed that it's not from the team. And I guess your Vini Zabu, if people don't know, I think you've elected to self-suspend from racing for a period of time. You're going to do Tour des Alpes. So until this is ironed out with the UCI. Typically, from what I've seen, the UCI takes actually quite a while and they need to wait for the B sample to apply the suspension. But just from some people might be saying, though, Valerio. Can I
interrupt you 1 second?
Yes, sure.
There is no B sample. There is no B sample.
Oh, because he's confessed. Sorry, my mistake.
There's no B sample.
What would you say, though, to the people who may say, we accept your point, Valerio. You can be looking at their bio passport yourselves, taking all the tests, tracking their data, so you know yourselves internally what people are doing. But what would you say to people who, and the MPCC somewhat, I think, inappropriately published that timeline on Twitter, who would say, well, this is not an isolated occurrence. There's been this happening a couple of times, maybe every 2 years. That being said, until last year's Giro, nothing since 2016. But yeah, what would your answer be to the people saying this is not an isolated occurrence?
Well, our answer to MPCC was easy because, like, we are talking now with UCI and with the police. We don't have to talk with anyone else. And the fact that they posted this timeline, I think it's very inappropriate because inside of that organization, which is not our organization, because we have UCI and we have police to refer, there are teams that they had the same problems that we have. But for this, we're not like say that these teams are guilty, because once you work in cycling team, you start to understand and to see the movements. Like if a rider from another team would be caught, I would never say that the team is guilty, because I see how we work and I see how the other teams work. And I think that it's not because I work in a team, but I think team can't have responsibilities when you clearly see that this is the case crossed the line. Like the guy went for EPO, like in the 90s or like 15
years
ago.
That's a good point. That is. Yeah, I have to say that is a good point. Sorry. It's kind of like Rico getting caught at McDonald's.
Yeah.
It's like, it's so amateur that there's no way, like I wouldn't assume the team is involved if with something like that. But yeah, Benji, do you want to jump in? Do you have any additional questions?
Yeah, I have an additional question when it comes to the self-suspension. I read that there was going to be an internal investigation by Vinizabu to look into it. Is that, for example, done by the team itself, or would it involve a third party to look into the situation, or how is that done? Like the internal investigation, like how does that work?
The internal investigation was when we called the guy up to our headquarters and he said whatever he did. Then there is an investigation from now the police or the NAS, and they are investigating. So we decided to self-suspend because it's with this on, it doesn't make sense to go and race. We hope it's going to be quick and we just wait. But we know that there could be also a chance that we're not going to race the Giro d'Italia. That's for sure. But with this self-suspension, we want to show that we are cooperating and we're not even me here. It's if I was feeling like dirty or guilty, I will never come here and talk to you. So
yeah,
the team wants to show it's open to collaborate and to talk about this, because it's just something totally external to the team.
Yeah, I get that. And acknowledging that, say, the teams had no involvement directly with the bonus and this issue, but is there anything, maybe it's too early to know, that the team might change going forward, either with looking into the riders they're giving contracts to? Is there anything the team could have changed going forward to prevent something like this? Kind of like with Education First, when they had that bloke who popped, not on Education First, but he had issues with the team beforehand. I thought, well, did they not look into him properly, really deeply, not just the data? But yeah, is there anything Vinizabu was thinking about changing?
Well, I have to tell you, we have from since 2014, I think, because I wasn't working yet here. We have a junior team named Junior Team Franco Ballerini. But the Italian rules don't let us make the jump of the rider straight from the juniors to the pro category. They have to do at least 1 year of under 23. But, for example, in our team now, we got some riders who raced with us in the junior team and also in our under 23 team. We had an under 23 team for 1 year. And this is one kind of solution. But with the fact that the team with not a big budget, we don't have a high budget, as to sign 20 riders changed a lot, because you're forced to take riders that maybe have they don't request a lot of money. Riders consider that four riders with the minimum salary cost to the team between the salary and the biological passport and all the analysis and tests, it costs for only four riders is like 160,000 euros. That's a lot. And for a team who doesn't have a big budget, you have to take riders that they don't request so much money. You can trust in some riders, like the riders that grew up with us, so that we know from many years from the junior team. But then you have to find also these riders and you accept the risk. But like us, it's all the other teams that have more or less the same kind of salary of budget. until we don't get a big sponsor, it's going to be like this. You take the risk and these things can happen.
What do you think about the current UCR rules that almost deem it an automatic suspension with two riders testing positive in a 12-month period? Do you think that rule is unfair on the teams? Do you think that rule needs to not be applied directly if the rider admits, in as it seems in the Debonis case, that the team had nothing to do with it? Do you think that should be like an exception to that rule?
Maybe an exception would be okay, but I think the rule is okay.
Yeah.
Because this could be like also something to say to the riders, like consider, like if you do these kind of things, if you dope, and everyone is going to be damaged. The sponsors, your colleagues, your team members. I think the rule is okay, but then when something like this comes on, UCI should be able to decide whether if this rule can be modified, simplified. But I think that the suspension is right.
Yeah, that's good to hear. Yeah, and I think it's kind of cropped up in previous years, not been applied directly. I got to say, I feel like the Giro wildcard, without passing judgment myself, because I don't know exactly what's happened on Vinny Zarbu, but from my perspective, it seems like the Giro wildcard has politicized this issue quite a lot and has motivated a lot of people to go on the internet and write about it and talk about it a lot, because that wildcard announcement was very controversial before this happened. There was a lot of talk about it. So that seems to be a big motivation to me as to why this has been on the airwaves so much as well. But I think the self-suspension is a good move. You coming on is a good move. And I think, yeah, openness, etc., is the way to go. Do you know when the police outcome or the investigation will be published? Did they give you any indication? Did the UCI say we've got to wait for the police investigation to finish before we pass our judgment? Or is it you kind of in the dark at Vinny Zarbu?
No, we're just waiting. Okay. Nothing. No. Yesterday was coming out on Gazzetta dello Sport that there could be like a judgment before 22nd of April, but
yeah,
we don't really know.
And how are the riders in the team, the other riders, coping? Are they obviously concerned about it, annoyed that maybe their names are getting dragged through the mud too? What's the feeling amongst the riders?
Sure, because they came in the homes with the families and a lot of riders are a bit pissed off.
Yeah.
I have to tell you an example. Here in San Baronto, we have Daniel Pearson.
Yeah.
And he, after months and months, he was finally able to come here in Italy. He was ready to race through the Alps. And I saw him also like a bit, not depressed, but, you know, these days they don't know, they train, but they don't know for which race or when they're going to be able to be back. But there's a lot of people is very angry. Like the team is actually very angry.
Yeah,
we see what's gonna be.
Yeah, all right. Well, we'll wait to see what happens. Hopefully, it all comes out in the wash. And thanks for coming on, Valeria. We really appreciate you giving up your time on the weekend to come on the podcast. And I'm sure the listeners, particularly because a lot of them are in North America, UK, and Australia. Appreciate hearing your perspective directly. Thanks very much.